Good morning again. The scripture reading will be taken from Hebrews 12, verses 14 to 15. And it reads, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Here is the reading.
What is that irritating action that always seems to annoy you? There was a survey done in a British newspaper on the top 100 annoying things. See if some of these things on the list you agree with, okay? Standing next to someone with bad body odor. Kind of annoying. Stepping in a dog's droppings. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Stubbing your toe, flies in your kitchen, delays at an airport, ugh. Standing next to someone who is talking loudly on their cell phone. People who park in handicapped parking who are not handicapped. Okay, it's confession time. We're going to have an invitation a little bit later. You can come forward at that time. Someone who coughs or sneezes in public without covering their mouth. And then this is one of the top ones, driving behind someone who is going significantly lower than the speed limit. Oh, that is so annoying. You know, each of us have our own pet peeves, little things that irritate us, get on our nerves, annoy us, and make us wake up and we don't have a very good morning. But what are your big things? Pet peeves are little things. This top 100 annoying things, those are little things that get on our nerves. What are your big things? What are the big things that don't just irritate you, but actually cause you to be downright mean, angry, and rude? For example, maybe there's some person that whenever they walk into the room, because of previous interactions with that person, you just have to go to another room. Or maybe there was a situation that happened years ago that because of what happened and how it wounded you, it skewed your perspective on that person or maybe that group or that church or that institution to where you just can't say anything positive about that person or that group because of what happened. Or maybe there was some scenario that happened years ago that really wounded you to where when anything similar happens today, you just get all angry all over again. Do you have one of those kinds of things? Deep in the recesses of our hearts, we have these emotional wounds, these issues, these little things that have festered over years that really weigh us down. And if we're not careful, those emotional wounds can cause us to be downright angry and rude to other people because of what happened. And what do we do about those things? Jason Dusling, in his book, Mere Hope, he says that in our culture, we're transitioning. He says, for a while, our culture was a culture of amusement, and so the focus was on entertainment. And then our culture shifted to be about anxiety, and the focus became about safety and security. But he said, now our culture is becoming more a culture of cynicism. Cynicism and hopelessness. Now, cynicism is this idea where we just expect the worst. We just assume that bad things are going to happen. We assume that things are not going to work out. A cynic is someone like that hypochondriac who told their family, just put on my tombstone, I told you I was sick. I'm glad y'all got that. That's what a cynic does. A cynic says, I told you so. I told you this wasn't going to work. I told you that conversation wasn't going to go well. I told you that you weren't going to get along with that person. I told you it was all going to fall apart. I told you. That's what a cynic does. And the first language of a cynic is sarcasm. And if I'll just be honest with this, if you're really good at sarcasm, you are very popular these days, because sarcasm is in our culture. If you can be sarcastic and snarky, man, everybody's going to watch your show. Everybody's going to read your columns. Everybody's going to like your Facebook posts, because that's the culture we're in. We're in a culture of cynicism. And if you can speak sarcasm, and if you can be rude, if you can be snarky, then people are going to gravitate towards you. And normally someone speaks sarcastically because they're wanting to do one of two things. Number one, they're wanting to try to keep things from getting too serious. And then number two, they're trying to give people the impression that they don't really care, when actually they do care. And the reason why they're cynical, or the reason why they're sarcastic, is because years earlier, there was a time in their life when they put their trust in someone or something, and they were let down. And because they were let down, they were wounded. And that wound inside has festered and has grown, and they don't like that wound. And so to protect themselves from getting any other wounds, they push people away by being cynical and being sarcastic. If you lower your own expectations for how you think people are going to act, then you'll never get let down. And so that's what a cynic does. Just assumes the worst. Assumes you're going to be let down. And what do we do about that? What do we do about it when we have a bitter and sarcastic attitude? The Bible says that that wound down deep in our heart that we carry around that makes us be cynical, that wound is called bitterness. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, the Christian life is pictured as a race. In fact, in chapter 11, we have this long list of all these faithful witnesses who have run the race well. And then after that chapter, chapter 12 begins by saying, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and since Jesus is our forerunner and pioneer in the faith, we are to run the race marked out for us with perseverance. The only problem is that as Christians, we're not very good runners. Because of sin and evil that we get entangled with, we don't run the race really well. We're not like the cross-country runner who's at the head of the pack, who's running strong and looks good. We're more like this guy. We're the middle-aged, out-of-shape guy who can't make it and has to pull over and get on his knees to try to catch his breath. That's the way we are when we run the Christian race. We run with a limp. In fact, the writer says in verse 12 that we've got feeble arms and weak knees. We try to run, but because of sin, we just struggle and we have difficulty. Well, whenever you're in an athletic event and things aren't going well, there's always a propensity to start pointing fingers at other people. This is a coach's worst nightmare. His team's on a losing streak. And so what happens is in the locker room, the players start pointing fingers at one another. Well, if our point guard would stop turning the ball over, then we'd get more possessions. Well, if you'd make the shots when I pass you the ball, then we'd get more points. Well, if you give me better passes, then I'd have better shots. If everybody would play better defense, then we wouldn't have to worry about our shooting. And on it goes. Whenever a team is doing things like that, that team is headed for trouble because they're divided. They're pointing fingers at one another. And what the Hebrew writer is telling us is that sometimes that can happen within the church. When we're trying to run the race to follow Jesus, sometimes that race can be pretty hard. And sometimes things don't go the way we expected them to go. And so what we can do sometimes is start to point fingers at brothers and sisters in Christ. And the writer says that when we start doing that, it's like this bitter root that is starting to grow up within the church. And this root grows up and it starts to be like poison that affects the whole body of believers. Look at one translation of Hebrews 12, verse 15. It says, there can very easily spring in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. Bitter roots produce poison ivy. And that poison ivy damages the individual, it damages a family, and it can damage the church because it can create a whole culture within the church of cynicism, sarcasm, and rudeness. And it all goes back to this bitter root, this root of bitterness. I was trying to come up with a really good image to describe bitterness for us, so I did a little search, and this is what I came up with. This is bitterness right here, okay? Now, at least we don't have enough, at least we have enough decorum to not act like this in public or around our friends and family, but deep down inside, some of you have felt this way. Isn't that right? Do I get an amen on that? In fact, you might have felt this way this past weekend when you had family coming over. I don't know. Okay, we got to move on because everybody's going to keep watching that over and over again. And where did those emotions come from? Why do we get that rude, angry feeling? Where does that come from? Where does that bitter feeling come from? Well, Pete Scazzaro, in his book, Emotional Healthy Spirituality, he says our emotional health is kind of like a big iceberg. And so when we come to church, we just let people see the tip of the iceberg. Our small talk, our conversations at Bible class, it's all about that tip of the iceberg. When we hear a sermon, we just let it go to the tip of the iceberg. But he said, it's down underneath the surface. That's where the roots of bitterness are. That's where the emotional wounds are. That's where the hurts and the hang-ups are that we've been carrying around for so long. Those situations where we are hurt by someone, they're down here underneath the surface. That's where those things are. And we don't let things get down there. We don't let people get down there. We push them away by being sarcastic and cynical. We push them away by being rude and angry. But it's down there where those roots are. Here's the way it happens. We have an interaction with someone or a series of interactions with people that lead us hurt, wounded, or angry. And that situation doesn't get resolved, at least doesn't get resolved very well. And so whenever that happens, you end up getting a wound down underneath the surface on your iceberg of emotions. And that wound, as someone said, buried anger becomes frozen resentment. That wound, it starts to grow. It festers and it grows. And it's like this seed of bitterness that has been planted in your heart or in your soul, and slowly it starts to grow. Slowly it grows. Suddenly it grows until eventually, after time, it pokes its head up above the surface. And you can always tell when it's poking its head above the surface because you start leaking negativity. You give a sarcastic comment. You act rude. You get angry. Just like that. You let some bad words slip. You get a little depressed. You just start carrying around all this anger inside. You can just feel it. Now, whenever those kinds of things happen, that's the time to stop and say, why am I acting this way? What's going on with me? And the reason is because there's a bitter root that has been planted down below, and it's growing, and it's starting to take over a portion of your heart. And until you deal with that rudeness, cynicism, and sarcasm, it's not going away. It's kind of like an addiction. If you have an addiction and it's manifesting itself in drugs and alcohol, you can try to change the behavior, but if you don't get down to the root of the addiction, it's just going to come out in another behavior. And it's the same way with bitterness. If you don't go down to below the surface, to the bottom of that iceberg, and deal with the root, it's just going to keep showing up at various times and at places that you don't really want it to show up. And you say, Steve, this sermon does not apply to me because I am not bitter. Okay? You might not be bitter, but you might be lying. You might struggle. I'm just joking. But let's do a bitterness test. Let's see if this sermon does apply to you. Is there a person that you have a grudge with that just gnaws at you little by little? Is there a person that every time you see them, you just feel something ugly inside? Is there a person or an institution or a politician or some other famous person that whenever you hear they've been blessed in some way, you cringe? Is there someone or something that whenever it is brought up in conversation, you always have to say something negative about it? Now, in some of those questions, if you're able to answer yes, or if there's a person's face that has come to your mind as I'm answering these questions, then this sermon applies to you. It means that there are some bitterness seeds down deep in your iceberg of emotions that have been planted there a while back, and they're growing. Now, here's the reason why this is important, church. It's because bitterness steals our hope. Instead of putting our focus on what God can do, when we have bitterness and cynicism in our heart and life, it puts our focus on what sin has done. We start focusing on our hurts, and we start focusing on our wounds, and we start focusing on the people who have hurt us deeply, instead of being focused on the Lord. And that's, according to Hebrews 12, that's what the writer's concerned about. Notice again what it says in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The writer understands if you're going to run this race well, as runners know, it's about your eyes. Where are you looking? And when you've got a bitter root deep down inside that's growing, you're not looking at Jesus. You're looking at your wound. You're looking at the person who hurt you. You're looking at sin. It's kind of like the story of Peter. Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter sees Jesus and says, Lord, if you tell me to come, Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat, and he starts walking as long as he's looking at Jesus. And then he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts looking at the storm. And instead of looking at Jesus and what Jesus could do, he starts looking at the storm and what the storm has done. And he starts to sink. That's what happens to us sometimes. We get our eyes off of Jesus, and we get our eyes on the people or the situations that have hurt us in our past, and we dwell on those, and we resent them, and we allow ourselves to develop this cynical, sarcastic, and rude attitude. And we start to sink. We start to sink. So how do we fix this? Step number one. We need to do a heart inventory. We need to do an iceberg inspection. Have you ever done that before? You need to take some time and do some reflection and name your feelings. Who have I offended? Who has offended me? And how did I feel? Have I ever been wronged? How do I feel about that? Have I ever wronged someone? How do I feel about that? We need to take some time and inspect our heart and inspect that iceberg of emotion to see what are the cracks and crevices that are down below the surface that I don't want anybody else to see and I don't want to really talk about. What are those things and how do I feel about that? That's step number one. Step number two, we need to make amends. If there's someone that we've offended, we need to reach out to them and apologize. If there's someone that we've wronged, we need to try to have a conversation with them. If there's someone who has wronged us, who has hurt or wounded us, we need to try to reach out to them and try to make it right. Now, I need to issue a warning to us all. Just because you do the mature thing and you try to have a conversation with someone who has wounded you doesn't mean that it's always going to go well. It takes two people to experience reconciliation. Just because one person wants to reconcile doesn't mean the other person wants to. And so we need to be careful about that because sometimes when we're wronged by someone, we can go to them and we can try to make it right and it doesn't go very well and that can actually drive us into bitterness and to cynicism even more. And so that's why very close to step number two is step number three. That's forgive. Reconciliation takes two people, but forgiveness takes one. And I can decide on my own that I'm going to let it go. And what that person did to me, and that wound that's down in the depths of my iceberg of emotions, I'll let it go. Now, that's not easy, okay? I understand that that is not easy. I know that takes time, and I know that takes a process. Forgiveness is something that you do over and over and over again. I think that's why one preacher said, he said, I think that God allows us to remember the wounds in our past so that we can practice forgiveness over and over again. Because that's the way forgiveness works. We don't just do it one time and it's done. We have to forgive over and over and over again. But as we start to do that practice of forgiveness, slowly that wound starts to heal. Now, we forgive someone not because they deserve to be forgiven. We forgive someone not because they've earned our forgiveness. We forgive someone not because they've done all the stipulations required to receive forgiveness. We forgive someone because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We forgive because God decided of his own initiative to come and to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for us while we were his enemies. He sent Jesus for us. And because of what God has done for us in Christ, that gives us the ability and the capacity to extend that to someone else who's wounded us. And as we start to do that, slowly our gaze shifts from the wound back to the Lord. Notice again what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When we are struggling with bitterness and cynicism and rudeness, we're missing the grace of God. But when we remember what God has done for us in Jesus, when we remember the grace God has given to us, bitterness starts to go away. And then there's one final step, and that is to give thanks. The ultimate antidote to a cynical attitude is thanksgiving. To give thanks to God for what he's done in our lives, to give thanks to God for what he's going to do in the future, and to give thanks to God for what he's doing in those around us. And as we give thanks, slowly what happens is we turn from being a bitter cynic to being a hopeful disciple. Heard a story about two brothers whose dad owned a retail store. And the plan was that the father was going to let the two brothers run the retail store when the father passed on. Well, the two brothers were working in the retail store, and one of the brothers was finishing up a transaction with a person, and the person gave him $20 to pay for what they were buying. And so the brother put the $20 on the cash register, and then he was putting something away over here. He said, I'm just going to put this right here, and I'll put this away, and I'm going to come right back and put the money in the drawer. Well, after he put it away, he turns back to the cash register, and the $20 is gone. Well, his brother is just a few feet away, and so he immediately says, hey, did you see that $20 that was on the cash register? I put it right there. I was going to put something away, and I was going to come back to that $20, but it's not there. Did you see that? Brother said, no, I didn't see it. I didn't see what happened to it. I didn't even know you put the $20. Brother said, no, I know you had to have seen it because you were just a couple feet away. What happened to the $20? He said, I didn't see it. He said, I think you grabbed that $20, you stole it, and you're lying about it. He said, I didn't see it. No, I think you saw it. I think you told it. And back and forth they start to go until finally one of the brothers said, if you're going to accuse me of that, if you're going to view me that way, then I'm not going to work with you anymore. And he storms out of the store. They literally had to come in and put a line in the middle of that store to keep the two brothers apart because the feud was so bitter. They had to create two stores out of one. Well, a few years pass, and a gentleman walks into the other brother's store. He said, I need to tell you a story, okay? He said, a few years ago, I was down on my luck. Things weren't going well, and I came into this store to try to get some help, and I saw on the cash register a $20 bill. And I said, I know I shouldn't have done it, but I grabbed it and I ran out. He said, I came here to apologize, but I want you to know that $20, it really helped me get food that day, helped me get over to a friend's house. I was able to start putting my life back together. Now I've got a good job, and I've come back here to apologize and to repay that $20 that I took. And as he's telling that story, the brother has tears start coming down his eyes. He says, can you just do me one favor? Can you go over to the store next door and tell the owner of that store the same story? Sure. So he walks over to the other store, begins to tell that first brother the same story. And when the brother hears that story, he's convicted in his heart, and he runs outside, and his brother's waiting there with arms outstretched. He says, I'm sorry I accused you. He said, it's okay. They hug, and they reconcile. And too often in the church, brothers and sisters develop conflicts and have emotional wounds over things as measly as a $20 bill. And God calls us to run the race differently. God calls us to find ways to work things out. God calls us to forgive those emotional wounds deep embedded in the iceberg of our emotions. The Church of Jesus Christ is not meant to be a place where there is rudeness, where there is bitterness, where there is cynicism, and where there is sarcasm. It's not meant to be that kind of place. The Church of Jesus Christ is meant to be a place where we forgive one another. It's meant to be a place where we work things out. It's meant to be a place where we have joy, and where we have peace, and where we have hope. And if there is a situation, or if there is a wound in your life that is keeping you from experiencing that or sharing that, what do you need to do about that? Our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. And I would encourage you, if there's a wound down deep that has been festering and growing, and that bitter root has been growing and poking its head above the surface, share that with one of your spiritual leaders. Say, can you pray about this situation with me? Because I don't want bitterness to win out. I want the grace of God to win out. I want to have my eyes focused on Jesus. If we can help you this morning, we want to do that. If you want to be baptized into Christ and join the family of God, we would love to welcome you into God's family. During this song, just walk to one of our shepherds or one of the ministers, and we'll help you. Please come now. Together we stand and sing.